Unveiling the secrets A-list copywriters use to make themselves and their clients millions. This is the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel.
So listen, you could have written the greatest copy in the world, perfectly targeted, with a killer offer, great price, unique and highly desirable. But I can tell you one way it is guaranteed not to work, and that's if nobody reads it. Don't laugh. It happens. There are a couple more than a dozen crucial things you must know and consistently do to make your copy as easy to read as possible. Most people know some of these things. A few people seem to know all of them, or at least use all of them consistently, which is a shame. A shame that it's only a few, because every little thing that makes your copy even a little harder to read ends up costing you sales more often than not. Today, we'll show you how to put a stop to this. Right after we start off with this, copy is powerful. You're responsible for how you use what you hear on this podcast, and most of the time, common sense is all you need. But if you make extreme claims, and or if you're writing copy for offers in highly regulated industries like health, finance, and business opportunity, you may want to get a legal review after you write and before you start using your copy. My larger clients do this all the time. So we've got 14 of these, and like I said, some you know, some maybe you don't, but the question is, how much are you using them and how well? Look, it's harder than ever these days to get and keep attention. Making your copy super easy to read really helps. When I did a presentation a few years ago at Agora Financial, when I was a copy consultant at the time to Agora, I coined the term eyeball glue. I was talking about a more intense and magnetic form of getting and keeping attention than we're talking about today. But even those ways would be useless if you can't get and keep people reading to begin with. So though we're going to cover 14 ways to make your copy easier to read today. Number one, use short sentences. And keep each sentence focused on one, just one idea. This makes it so much easier for your reader. Here's a long sentence that's got too many ideas in it and is hard to read, as well as hard to listen to. When you get the running shoes, take them out of the box. Make sure they're laced up the way you want them, because you don't want to look like a fool having your kicks laced up the wrong way and then put them on and tie them up. You know, it sounds like the guy's really excited, but we're talking about instructions to somebody trying to understand what to do. That's a mouthful, right? Also an eyeful. It takes some effort to read it. 48 words in one sentence. How about this except? One, here's what to do when you get your shoes. First, take them out of the box. Next, make sure they are laced up the way you like. Then, put them on and tie them up. Only 35 words. Same ideas, although we didn't talk about looking like a fool. But much easier to take in and process. And as for looking like a fool, anyone who buys high-end running shoes already knows that part anyway. So why was the second one so much easier to take in and process? It's because your reader will stay with you more often when you break it down for them and put things in logical order in short sentences. And breaking it down into short sentences is an easy extra step a lot of the time, one that can make all the difference. Oh, you're on mute.
I always say if you get to the end of the sentence and you've forgotten what the point of the beginning of the sentence was, the sentence is too long. And then just for readability, if I look at a sales page and it's filled with giant long run-on sentences, I don't even want to read it. It looks like a chore, so I won't even start. So just at a glance, having those short broken up sentences makes a huge difference on whether someone even begins reading your sales page or not.
Yeah, that's a really good point. you don't want your copy to look like a huge gray wall that they have to, you know, dig into and scale, or I guess it's the other direction, more like cave, going into a cave spelunking. But you don't want it to look like a wall. You want it to look very accessible, lots of sunlight, lots of white space. Okay, good. Thank you. So number two, keep your paragraphs short. It's okay to have paragraphs that are only one or two sentences long. Short paragraphs are like giving your reader breathing space. When I was in grad school, I had a very haughty professor of writing who told us at orientation that if it doesn't have five sentences, then it's not a paragraph. Now, since I had already written a sales letter that brought in $40 million to one business, and I was pretty sure she hadn't done that herself, I decided not to take her advice. See, all my sales letters have short paragraphs, often just one sentence. But I understand this can be tough to do at first, because if you were trained to write paragraphs differently, then writing really short ones goes against your habit. But do it anyway, because we're talking about making your copy easy to read, not about following some ridiculous rule that doesn't work at all when you're trying to sell something.
This is much in line with what we said about the first one, the short sentences, giving the readers breaks, and you mentioned having areas, white space, where the sun can shine through. That's definitely the case with the paragraphs as well.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this is not verbal so much as visual. You know, I mean, people are reading. That's a visual thing. Now, you know, traditionally, copywriters and designers are in opposite corners of the boxing ring. But really, everybody's trying to get a page or a screen that someone will read so that they'll take action. And if you make it visually intimidating, if you make it look like too much work, that's on you, you know? All right. Number three, use bullet points for lists. When you have a long list in sentence form, items on that list can get caught in the shuffle. Break them out into bullet points for easy reading. It's easy to get confused on this one and miss opportunities to make your copy easier and quicker to read, and here's why. A lot of us copywriters were taught, including me, that bullet points have to be very tantalizing presentations of benefits to get the prospect closer to buying. And for some bullet points, that's definitely true. But sometimes, for readability, you can also use bullet points to list out features, so readers can grasp them quickly. Check out this example. Okay, first, here's the sentence. With our service, you get round-the-clock customer support, weekly performance reports, free software updates for life, and personalized training sessions to help you get started quickly and effectively. That's okay. It's only 28 words long. But in those 28 words, you've got six ideas. It's much easier to take all that in when it's broken down to a bullet list like this. Bullet, 24/7 customer support. Bullet, weekly performance reports. Bullet, free software updates for life. Bullet, personalized training sessions to get you started. It's the same information. A prospect can home in on the features they find interesting and skip over the rest. And by the way, it's only 19 words, nearly one-third less than the sentence form that the list had before.
And I like this. It's not like your blind bullet or your turn to page 48 bullet or anything like that. But having certain parts of your copy broken into bullets like this, again, just breaks it down, makes it easier to consume, makes bite-sized chunks. And when I'm looking at the page as a whole, if it's paragraph, 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 and then a little bullet section like this, and then a couple paragraphs, and then a separate bullet section, it makes it a lot less intimidating to dive into.
Yeah. You know what I'm thinking of as you're saying that is I think you are, you know, estimating, and I do the same thing, how much eye fatigue I'm going to have to put up with after I read this, because we're very active visually. We're looking at a lot of stuff, and you know, it's not too hard to make our eyes tired if they have to fight every sentence, every paragraph, every page. So yeah, absolutely. All right, let's go to number four. Use short subheads and lead-ins. bold these groups of words, groups of 1 to 3 words to introduce a topic idea inside of what you're writing, gives your readers mile markers and helps them stay on the page. The idea here is to use the same kind of thinking you use to write a straightforward headline, not a crazy benefit headline, but use it to smaller chunks of the copy, not for the whole sales letter, but maybe for a paragraph. So listen to these two chunks of copy. This is the first version. Our solution increases efficiency by 30%. It also reduces errors. Many clients love the intuitive interface and the time savings. This tool is a game changer for small businesses, providing enterprise-level capabilities on a small business budget. Typical benefit pack B2B copy, right? All right, now let's tighten it up and make it more readable by putting a bold lead-in at the beginning of the start of each paragraph. So here's a second version in bold, efficiency gains. And then the copy continues. Our solution increases efficiency by 30% and reduces errors. In bold, loved by users. And then clients love the intuitive interface and time savings. The tool is a game changer for small businesses, providing big benefits on a small budget. What you're doing is you're dividing the copy into sections with bold lead-ins before you get into the substance of the copy. Each bold lead-in signals the topic of the paragraph that follows. When you do it this way, readers can scan the document and quickly find or grasp key ideas. It breaks up the text in a way that's convenient for your reader.
I think one thing to also keep in mind is people don't always read a sales page from top to bottom. A lot of times we open it and we skim through it looking for things that grab our attention and pull us in. And then if you do a good job of that, we go back and we reread from top to bottom. So the bullet points, these bolded, highlighted benefits followed by a brief explanation, stuff like that does a great job of grabbing your attention while you're skimming, pulling you in, and then getting you to go back and read the whole letter.
Such a good point. I mean, one of the overriding meta principles is don't let them fall off the page. And that's what you're talking about, that these things, don't let them fall off the page. All right, number 5, use simple language. It's easier for your reader to understand short, well-known words. Don't try and dazzle them with your fancy vocabulary. It'll backfire. Remember, if they already knew your jargon, they'd probably already own your product too. So they might not be a good prospect unless they don't know your jargon. In any case, more people will want to read what you've written when they don't have to look up any of the words that you use.
I got 2 points for that. Number one, I immediately have a red flag go up when people start using $10 words because I feel like they're trying to baffle me with bullshit.
Yep.
And then number two, if I have to leave the page and open a dictionary, good luck getting me back to the page.
Yeah, that's right. Two really good points. And I'm sure you're not the only person who, maybe not everyone thinks it through that thoroughly because you're a copywriter, you know, but not all prospects are copywriters all the time, but people will behave the same way. Mm-hmm. They'll say, oh, hell with this, you know, right? Okay. All right, let's try number 6, write in the active voice. Active voice means somebody did something, not something was done by someone. It's much easier to understand quickly. Instead of a complimentary consultation is being offered by our team to all new clients, try our team offers a complimentary consultation to all new clients. See, when you change the sentence from passive voice to active voice, the reader knows who's doing what, and that's easier to process when you're reading.
I think also on this one, and maybe I'm just telling myself this story, but I feel like when you're writing or reading an active voice, you're much more likely to take action. You're not passive. You're not a victim to what's going on around you. You're making things happen. And so then at the end of the sales page, I'm like, hey, here's an opportunity for you to make things happen. And I set it up by using active voice throughout the sales page.
Such a good point. Never thought of that. It makes perfect sense. I think you're right. Yeah. All right, number seven, cut out extra words, especially phrases like "it is necessary to" and "in order to." Find the most economical way to write what you want to get across. So, like this, here's something that's hard to read. In order to successfully achieve weight loss, it is necessary to engage in constant physical activity on a daily basis. Here's the easy-to-read version. To lose weight, exercise daily. Fact is, concise writing delivers the same meaning with fewer words. Not only does it make the statement punchier, but it also makes the statement easier to read.
Okay, I'm going to cut out my extra words and let's move on to number eight.
Okay, highlight key benefits with boldface type. So before, we are offering a limited time discount if you sign up now and you'll get access to all premium features with boldface. We are offering a bold, limited time discount and bold if you sign up now and you'll get access to all premium features. Here, three important words, limited time discount, are bolded in this after version. And this is a very strategic choice because these words are a key part of the offer. You've created urgency just by boldfacing. And of course, you've made it easier to read.
I think of this as emphasizing. When I'm speaking, I want to put an emphasis on a certain part of my sentence. That's how I do it in copy, is by bolding certain parts of the sentence.
Yeah, exactly. Which leads into what we're talking about next, because copy is more like the spoken conversation than most other types of writing. So the number nine is write like you're having a conversation. Not only is this easier to read, it's also more authentic, and it builds trust between you and the reader. Now, I want to acknowledge this is easier for me to say than it is for most people to do. My buddy John Carlton says that being able to write conversationally is one of the last skills that comes in when you're learning to be a copywriter. I think Carlton's right. Recently, I was on Michael Lauren's podcast. Besides being a great podcast host, he's also a voiceover artist. He asked me, how do you learn to write conversationally? A couple things I suggested. First, listen. Really listen to how people talk in real life, on TV shows, in movies. So one labor-intensive but very effective way, if you stick with it, like maybe for a month or two, is to turn on closed captions on TV when you're watching a show or a movie. Stop what you're watching every time a line of dialogue pops up in the screen and copy it down. By writing it out, you'll get a good visceral, physical sense of what the spoken language sounds like. Spoken language that gets attention and communicates an intention. Also, pay attention to how really popular fiction authors like Stephen King and Greg Hurwitz, who wrote the Orphan X series, how they write. And it wouldn't hurt to hand copy some pages of dialogue from a screenplay or from one of those novels. So writing like we talk is a matter of training your attention until you know what real conversation sounds like, knowing it in your bones. That's what you're going for.
Another tip for this is after you've written it, go back through and read it out loud, because you'll catch those things that don't sound natural when you hear yourself reading it. And then you'll be like, oh, that did not sound like a natural conversation. I need to go back and rework this sentence.
Yeah, I completely forgot about that. But that's right. That works. And that will also give you good information as to how conversational it is. All right, number 10, write directly to the reader. Use the word "you." It makes your message more personal and automatically gets your reader more interested. This is almost a subset of writing in a conversational way. Too often, copy comes across as impersonal or overbearing or condescending because it's shouting or talking at the reader rather than talking to them one at a time. Using the word "you" can get you moving in the right direction towards making it more personal and conversational.
I love it. Let's keep going.
Okay. 11, use numerals for numbers. That is, use digits instead of spelling out the name of the number. Compare the, I'm going to spell out word letter by letter to give you a sense of what it's like to read this. Compare these two sentences to see how much easier it is to read when you use the digits. Our solution helped TEN clients double their sales in just SIX months. Our solution helped 10 clients double their sales in just 6 months. If the 10 and the 6 are numerals rather than the words for the numbers, the sentence sounds the same when you don't spell out the numbers like I did, but it reads more easily. Use numerals, numbers, where you can, and it helps in a couple of ways from the reader end. First, your eye and brain process the numeric number faster and more easily than the spelled out number. Second, it makes the sentence a little shorter so your reader can read it a little faster. And you know these days every millisecond counts.
What I like about this one and a lot of these ones is it's just kind of polishing off the remaining rough edges in your copy. Just a little bit of sanding here and there makes it such a smooth ride for the reader.
Yeah, true. And that's what this is. This isn't like how to come up with a big idea or, you know, how to write the greatest story ever told. This is about polishing and sanding. You know, in carpentry terms, this is like finished carpentry, not framing the house. Okay, number 12, use Morse code. Now, this is real Morse code. Dot, dash, dash, dot, 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 dash, dot. Dash, dot, dash, dash, dot, dash, dash. I have just spelled out pinky, you know, like pinky in the brain. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about real Morse code. I'm talking about the components of Morse code, dots and dashes. Dots meaning ellipses or three dots, dot, dot, dot. Dashes meaning this, the short dash called the hyphen or the end dash, and the long dash called the M dash. And it's called the N dash because it takes as much space. This is an old printer's thing as the letter N, and M dash because it takes up twice as much space as the letter M. Now, you lowercase. Now, you can use dots and dashes to break what you write into bite-sized bits of dots and dashes with dots and dashes. You can use dots and dashes to break up what you write into bite-sized bits. Here's a before and after example. This is before with no dots and dashes. This deal is absolutely a once-in-a-lifetime chance to improve your results, and you should not let it slip away because opportunities do not come often like this, so you will want to act quickly. Now, let's bring in the magic of dots and dashes. This deal is a once-in-a-lifetime chance, long dash, truly special. Don't let it slip away, dot, dot, dot. You'll want to act quickly. Of course, the reader's not going to read it with the short dash and the long dash and the dot, 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 but you can see how the dots and dashes not only make the copy easier to read, but they also create rhythm and emphasis. They make the sentence less tedious to read and more engaging and easier to follow.
What I like about this, we talk about cadence. We talk about, is it staccato? Is that the word I'm looking for?
Staccato.
Staccato.
The staccato. Capisce? Staccato.
The rhythm that you usually associate with somebody who's a good lyricist, you can add that into your copy by strategically using this stuff. It feels like that one sentence or those two sentences that you read with the dots and the dashes, they feel like a roller coaster ride rather than just a boring slide.
I think you just threw a rhyme at me. Well, okay. Roller coaster ride instead of a boring slide. Thank you, Nathan. I knew you were a good lyricist. Okay, 13, front load what's important. Lead with the benefit. Instead of, if you sign up today, we'll give you a free month of service as a bonus. Try, get a free month of service as a bonus when you sign up today. See, when you leave the most important part of your sentence to the end, it can get lost in the shuffle. Someone who's skimming is much more likely to catch keywords at the front of a sentence than at the end of it.
In journalism, they say don't bury the lead, because if they can't get, if you don't hook them with the first sentence, they're not going to read the second sentence. This is kind of that, but on a micro level. If they don't read the first half of the sentence, they're not going to read the second half.
Right. And if you've been writing copy for a while, you know, getting them to read the first half of the sentence can be a major uphill battle. So these things, I mean, in addition to this being like really, you know, micro stuff, it's also crucial. I mean, it's going to change maybe a 0.2% response rate to a 1.2% response rate if you get all this stuff right, all other things being equal, which they never are, of course. Okay, number 14. Replace complex descriptions with simple ones. It's true. It takes work to take a complex way of saying something and turn it into something that's simple to understand. But someone's got to do that work. If it's you, your reader will be much more likely to read your new simple version. If it's your reader, chances are they'll decide to click away to read something else instead of puzzling over something complicated and hard to understand. This all goes back to what I call the law of work, which goes like this. He who does the work gets paid. Now, there's a female version of this, and it goes like this. She who does the work gets paid. It all has to do with who does the work of making a complex idea simple and understandable. If it's you, you get paid by taking the profit from the sale. If your prospect has to do the work, they don't become a customer, and the money that was supposed to be yours stays in their pocket. So in that way, they get paid.
I think of this as if you do all the work for them, it makes it really easy for them to say yes. If you ask them to do all the work, they're not even going to do the work. They're just going to say no and walk away.
That's right. Yeah, I think that's pretty clear. All right. So should we do a recap?
Let's do a recap.
Okay. 1, use short sentences. 2, keep your paragraph short. 3, use bullet points for lists. 4, use short subheads and lead-ins. 5, use simple language. 6, write in the active voice. 7, cut out extra words. 8, highlight key phrases using bold or italics. 9, write like you're having a conversation. 10, write directly to the reader. 11, use numerals for numbers. 12, use Morse code, ellipses and long dashes. 13, front load what's important. And 14, replace complex descriptions with simple ones. And we can put that list in the show notes too if somebody wants to review it.
Man, you know what I'm thinking is, if I was a copywriter out there and I was playing around with AI, I would go to copywriterspodcast.com right now, go to the show notes page for this, grab this list of 14 rules, and next time I crank out a sales page with ChatGPT, I would then say, okay, now follow these 14 rules.
You're right. Man, I didn't think about that. But yes, it's a great idea. I'm kind of shocked and ashamed that I didn't think of it myself. But I'm really glad that you...
Well, just a simple plug. Go to copywriterspodcast.com. All right, David, man, this was a power-packed episode, man. Thank you for putting it together.
Oh, you're welcome. I was wondering if it would be boring, but I don't think it was boring.
No, this was good. This is like the... You got to... decent sales page, and then you go through and you sand off all the rough edges with these tips, and you've got a way better, way higher converting sales page on your hands.
Yeah, this could be like a final cut pass through, final cut review. I mean, you could just turn this into an app for AI, right? You know, not an app, an agent, a bot, whatever you want to call it.
Okay. All right. If you enjoyed this episode, if you want to grab this list of 14 rules and play around with it in ChatGPT, head on over to copywriterspodcast.com. We got you covered there. Plus 414 other episodes. Holy cow. All available over at copywriterspodcast.com. Until next time. We will catch you later.
Catch you later.
Hey, did you enjoy today's show? Want to help get it into the ears of more listeners? Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast app.
This is the Copy and Funnels Podcast Network.